Trump had a great deal before the war. So I think Trump's, it was a great deal if it's about nuclear weapons. Okay, but I don't think it is. I think it's about having more control of the Strait of Hormuz and a government more willing to work with the US and change their foreign policy. You just want a government modification, a regime modification like in Venezuela, and Iran did not accept for that. So this is something that I think if that does not happen in the current deal, we're not going to have a peace agreement. But for me, this is why it's possible now we may have a deal that wasn't possible before the war. The whole intention of this war, in my view, was to have a more friendly regime, to have more influence of the Straits. So that's why I'm more optimistic in this case.
But, more effort in the Straits. The Straits were open and they'd never been closed.
Not open for America. For America, no. For the U.S. to be able to choke off the Straits, to choke off China, if they ever need to in the future, in years from now, if China's planning to attack Taiwan, a great deterrent for the U.S. Like, hey, you attack Taiwan, we're going to close the Straits for you. Plus, having more influence, having more control, investments, access to Iran's oils is a big win as well. So for me, it's a business deal rather than the nuclear weapons, because we all know that Iran is not going to – there was a deal, as you said, there was a deal beforehand. Oman made it clear, European diplomats made it clear. There was a deal beforehand where Iran would give up their enriched uranium, which now we don't know where they are, and would stop their nuclear program and stop the enrichment.
Well, I would counter that we've always had the ability at any time by just pure policy to get as much Iranian oil as we wanted by just changing the terms of any kind of sanctions or whatever. So we could have done that at any time without the cause of war. And I guarantee you at any time we want, we can shut down the Strait of Hormuz if there's a China-Taiwan issue.
If Iran doesn't want to shut. Like, how do we shut it down if Iran doesn't want to shut?
The same way they did. I mean, they would threaten to shoot ships and destroy ships, whatever. We could blockade the thing. No one could get in or out without.
But
if we blockade it,
can't Iran? Don't we become sitting ducks for Iran? We had to move the ship, the aircraft carrier, even further from the coast a couple of weeks ago because Iran could strike it, and that's Iran after having thousands of targets hit.
No, it's much easier than you think. All we would have to do is launch a few cruise missiles to hit ships once they get into the Strait, just like Iran did. At first, they just said nobody can go through or there's going to be a problem. And most ships didn't try that, only when they were attacked later. We could do the exact same thing. Honestly, it would not be hard at all for us to shut down that Strait if we wanted to with any number of assets. You don't need to have a physical blockade. It's not like the Iran can do something that we can't. They have done it one way. We can do it a similar way in our other ways. I promise we don't need this to shut down the Strait.
Another one would be getting access or control of the of Karg Island and the oil in the country as well. So Iran depends on that oil. If the U.S. companies are the ones that are now controlling that oil, they have access, they've invested in the refineries, etc., as they have done in other countries, as they've done in the Gulf, then that would give more leverage for the U.S. to have control over Iran's oil.
Maybe I missed part of you. So how would America have control of the Iranian oil, whether on Karg Island?
By having a more friendly regime, similar to the Shah.
I see a more antagonistic regime of anything that's happened so far. I don't see
now. I'm not saying it worked. I'm not saying it worked. The strategy has not worked. The regime is stronger. I'm saying what the intention would have been, and what the Americans would be hoping for right now. I think it's failed so far. But the reason I think the only reason a deal could be made right now is if the U.S. concedes, which I think they will. The Americans are in a pretty bad spot. But it's more important that the regime accepts a deal as well. Now, there's one argument is that the regime wants to inflict as much damage on the Iran, wants to inflict as much damage as possible on Israel and the U.S. But the other is that Iran is also struggling. They're being bombed on a daily basis. They're wanting out. They're having their commanders get struck, the besieged checkpoints. Reportedly, they're deserted. People are hiding. The besieged members are hiding because the drones are targeting them. So Iran's in a pretty bad spot. But the other point on Israel, though, is this is where it's tricky. So I made a post yesterday. I said, look, if the negotiations are going well, what Iran would do is stop targeting the Gulf because they want the Gulf on their side. They want to mend relations with the Gulf. They want the Gulf to lobby for a good deal for Iran and target Israel instead, kind of focus all that firepower on Israel and Israeli assets to then force Netanyahu as well to concede and accept a peace deal. So if we see that shift by Iran, we'd love to get your thoughts. Stop striking the Gulf and American interests, or reduce the attacks there and then focus more on Israel, that could be an indication that there's progress with the Americans because the Americans are more willing to reach an agreement, and efforts to force Israelis to also agree for concessions. So for me, that's one indicator, which we haven't seen so far. Let's see today how the attacks are going to be, that we may be getting progress in terms of of a peace deal. That would include lifting of sanctions. I think that's non-negotiable for Iran. Security guarantees, just there's no way to offer them, as I've said. Reparations, kind of so-so. I don't know how they'll structure it. But do you think it's possible that we might see a shift more and focus more on Israel if there is progress when it comes to the negotiations?
Everything is possible, and that's entirely
because Iran can't sustain this forever either, Daniel.
Well, they can't sustain it forever, but I think that they have demonstrated that they can sustain it for a long time. I mean, literally, you had 8 years of the Iran-Iraq war where they were decimated. I mean, their leaders were assassinated. They had bombing throughout their country. I mean, they took a lot of punishment. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed in Iran during that period of time. So I think that they do have a track record that says they can go a lot longer than 4 weeks. We're struggling, and our economy is struggling, especially if nothing happens after 5 days. The oil was right about $100 when Trump made this announcement on Monday, and it dropped down to 80 something, I think, for a while.
Yeah,
it's kind of hovering around that. I think it's still in the.
It's back up there. Right now. No, it's back up. It's back up to over 90. Yeah, it's back up early today. So it just shows the markets are showing that it's back up to above 90. The markets are showing exactly. They're showing that. So we're seeing whether the markets believe Trump more or the Iranians more, and today they're leaning more to the Iranian side.
Today, right, but and we still got 5 days, that fifth day, because he just delayed the problem from what would have been Monday night. Now it's moved back 5 days, so we'll see what happens then. Believe me, the markets are certainly going to be watching intently to see what happens. It could either spike up higher or it could even drop lower if something good happens on that fifth day. But I could be wrong here too, and I'm just speculating here. But I cannot imagine that the Iranians, after all that they have endured at the hands of the United States and Israel, and their emphatic claims that they are not just going to keep doing this forever, the fact that they chose not to submit in a big way prior to this war started, even with that good offer here, they still could have submitted more. They didn't. And according to the New York Times, like 2 days, I think, before the war started, they said evidence shows or reports show that the Iranians had calculated it would be a greater risk to give in and do whatever Trump wanted and avoid war as opposed to accepting the war and going forward. Now they took that path. Yeah. They took that path. Then now they have suffered tremendous losses to now go back and say we're going to go back to almost a status quo ante, and now we're going to give in something that will bring the war to an end if we just get some kind of minimal thing with no guarantees, no promises at all that this won't happen again in 6 months, 8 months, a year, whatever. It would be foolish. Then they would have paid this huge price for very little. Yeah, they can go back and do it again, but at another tremendous cost. Whereas if they just keep this going on this current path, and saying, hey, we can, because right now, I'll just tell you my view, whatever I'm speculating, this is a test of wills like nothing we've seen in my lifetime. It is between basically Donald Trump, a lot with Netanyahu, but primarily with Trump, because he's the one that has the decision-making power, and the Iranian leadership. Who is going to give in first? Because Iran has to be saying, we can suffer a lot of years because you have this great military, you have these standoff weapons, all kinds of other missiles and bombs and drones that you can bring on us, and it's causing lots of damage, and we already had a weak economy. But who can say, I can suffer this longer? I argue that the Iranians can suffer longer because the longer this goes, Iran already is weak. So you're taking them from a weak spot to even more weak, but you're taking the U.S. from way up here where it was pretty good. And now then the longer this goes, especially if that price goes up 120, 150 and stays there, it's going to be catastrophic for us. And so I think the pressure is far more on the United States side than it is on the Iranian side. So it's going to be who can suffer the most, the longest. And I would wager it's probably going to be the Iranians because they have more experience at it.
Yeah, let me give you some reports as well. So one of them here is, according to a former, it kind of reaffirms your point, according to CNN, a former Pentagon advisor said Iran is entering negotiations with higher leverage than before the war began. It's exactly what you said. The U.S. spent $12 billion, struck 9,000 targets, and deployed this 82nd Airborne. Iran still controls the Strait of Hormuz and can threaten chaos across the entire region. Now, there's another report here by Yedioth and Al Arabiya. Iran's foreign minister Arachi told U.S. envoy Steve Witkoff that talks are approved from the top. So he claims that the supreme leader Mushtaba approved the talks that are ongoing right now behind the scenes. Again, that's not confirmed. This is Yedioth and Al Arabiya. Yeah, and there's another one here. Iran's energy minister says Iran's grid. That's an important point. Iran's grid is decentralized, while Israel and Gulf states rely on centralized systems. Warning: a small number of strikes could cripple their power supply. That's a really important point. The reason I just don't see how it's a good idea in any way for the US to strike the power plants in Iran. They've proven time and time again they can retaliate tit for tat. They've done it with the strike in Dimona as a warning shot when a strike was near the Bushehr plant, very close to the Bushehr power plant, nuclear power plant. So if the power plants are struck in Iran, Iran would do the same in the Gulf. And if they escalate, and Israel, and if they struck Haifa already, and if they escalate and start striking not only the gas field in Qatar, which would destroy the Asian economies, but they could start striking the desalination plants. And that becomes not damaging to the Gulf countries' economies. It would become existential in a way to the Gulf nations right. when you strike their desalination plants. So I just don't understand how this is a good idea in any way. I also don't understand the position of the Gulf nations, because we're getting reports as well that MBS of Saudi's MBS said he wants Iranian energy infrastructure struck specifically on top of everything else. So he wants the energy infrastructure. Iran already told the world what happens. Gulf energy facilities will be struck. So there's a report here that MBS actually wants the Gulf facilities to be struck. Some even saying MBS wants to join the war, but other Gulf nations are not agreeing with him. So we're seeing a split within the Gulf, and we're seeing a big power struggle there. So multiple, everything points at a catastrophe if the US strikes the Iranian energy infrastructure. So my question to you is, if that does happen, if there are no negotiations or the negotiations fail and the U.S. moves forward, what do we see after 4 days?
Yeah, that's my big worry as well. And another reason why I think that the Iranian side is saying we can suck down your missiles. We have a system that's designed to survive that. We have a mentality that can endure as suffering for a long time, and we don't think that you can. And you talk about MBS. Now, I'll put a caveat on everything that I hear. There's so much misinformation out there and disinformation and just rumors that are flying around claimed as being true. I don't know if that's accurate or not. What I can tell you is that I doubt that the Iranians are exactly quaking in their boots because the military from Saudi Arabia could launch into operation here. Look what they did for a decade with just against the Houthis. They never brought them to heel, and they didn't exactly show themselves fantastic in military affairs, even in the air in that situation. So I'm not exactly sure that's going to be that big of an issue to add onto it. And then I doubt that it's true, because Saudi Arabia would then know that then they would be at a much higher risk of having targeted strikes from Iran. And they know that Iran can strike the targets with pinpoint accuracy inside of Saudi Arabia, which they've done before, to include that desalinization plan. I don't see why they would risk something like that for an opportunity that really won't help them at all, but it would just cause more destruction. So I think we're back to that issue. What's going to happen on that fifth day? Is Trump going to make good on his threat or not? And I think Iran is definitely prepared to respond and retaliate in kind. So far, everything they have said they would do, they have done, especially in regards to what they're going to attack. They've been very transparent about that from the beginning, and they've shown, more importantly, they have the capacity, no matter how many of these 9,000 strikes that we've had and these claims we keep knocking down all of their launchers and all this other kind of stuff, and yet you see they have a pretty sustained rate of fire since I think the 5th or 6th of March. It's been a pretty sustained rate of fire, then we haven't been able to diminish it, no matter how many targets we have, which gives them confidence that they can continue to endure this. And I think that they're doing a calculation probably by the day, I would imagine that they are, of saying who can suffer the longest. And I think they calculate, and you mentioned a couple of things just a second ago, that they no doubt see that there's more pain pressure points on the Israeli / American side or Gulf region side than there are on their side. And I think that they're going to go as far until they can get the deal that they want.
Colonel, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. Everyone else, we'll see you again in an hour and a half. Hopefully with someone more optimistic than the Colonel.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to keep it real, man.
Thank you, Colonel. Have a good day, sir.